Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is Thursday, September 8th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to MotorVitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. Love having you here live, though. However, next week, if you're here live, you won't hear a call. Next week is Water Quality Association's mid-year convention in Tahoe, and so we will not be having a call next week. So if you happen to log on, you guys could talk amongst yourselves, I'm sure. The conference call line still works, but Jen and I will not be here. So no call next week. We will resume the following week, so no call next week, okay? With that announcement, I am going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with, any questions that you might have?
Morning, Kelly. It's Paul.
Hey, Paul. Good morning.
How are you?
Anything?
How are you?
I'm doing great. Do you have something there or anything
that
you...
I just got on the call.
Oh, just as we were saying. Okay. All right, good. You're just saying good morning. Awesome. Good morning, Paul.
Everybody all at once. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning,
I'm not,
Paul. That's right.
Oh, that's good. Thank you. Thanks, Kevin. Yeah.
All right. So,
how to make friends and influence people, huh?
There you go.
The lesson here is, get on the call early or you're going to be, you know, made fun of.
Jen, you had
like
something
a comedy show.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Jen, you had something?
Yeah, just a kind of a reminder. You're talking about the week after next. EWQA is in I think 2 weeks from now or just short of 2 weeks from now. If you haven't signed Eastern Water Quality Association Conference, if you haven't signed up, it's in the beautiful Poconos, which is really nice. And then, looking at the education that they're offering there, it's just, there's some great education there. So I highly recommend going there. There's a lot to learn while you're there.
We have talked a lot about the importance about getting involved in the local and state associations, and for those of you that are within 3 or 4 hours of driving, I would strongly, even if it's just for a day, take a look at the schedule and go. It really is an excellent way to get, number one, involved in some of your local issues, find out what's happening in your areas to get involved, but also the education and to get out of your bubble. We've talked about that a lot, about how, the challenge of staying, kind of within your bubble there. So, I did have one incident myself that I wanted to kind of talk about and see how it related to us and what we do. And it sometimes happens where it's a little frustrating. I've often mentioned on these calls, and this isn't the topic I necessarily want to talk about today, but I thought it might be an interesting way to start the call. I was installing in the warehouse and training facility that we were building. I was connecting yesterday. There's an app called MyQ, which allows you to remotely connect a garage door opener. And it's mostly the garage door openers that are manufactured after, I think, 2002 or something like that. And I used to have one in my house. This is the garage door opener that is in the warehouse, is a commercial garage door opener. And so I wasn't sure if this device, basically what it allows you to do is open and close and monitor the status of your garage door remotely. So you can be anywhere and open and close it. And it's kind of nice if, there's going to be times possibly that there's nobody at the warehouse or the training facility and a delivery is coming and we need to be able to pop it in for home. It's kind of nice. Amazon actually has this thing now where they can hit a button and set the stuff right in your garage and close it. It's kind of cool. But I looked at this garage door opener, and it's about 30 foot up on the ceiling. And so I climbed a very tall ladder and opened it up and had to take a picture of it to get, like, reach off the ladder. I couldn't see inside this thing the way the ladder was positioned. So I had to reach up and take a picture of it and climb down and look at the model number. And I did some research online, and sure enough, it had a what they call a learn button, and seemed like it should be compatible, even though it was a commercial unit, with this remote device. And so I went to, I ordered that device, climbed back up on a ladder yesterday, was connecting this thing remotely, and couldn't get past a certain step. It wouldn't allow me. There's different color learn buttons on garage door openers, and mine looked yellow. It was clearly yellow. That's the button that I was telling the app that it was a yellow button, a yellow learn button. And so it was going through and kept failing. So I ended up calling the support, my queue. I got a gentleman named Dave. I'm not totally sure that was his real name. In fact, I'm pretty certain it was not, but, he, you know, went through a bunch of things, a bunch of checks, things that I had already done myself. I understand that, you know, a lot of times the support, they have to, okay, there's a button that says on, press that. Yeah, I did that already. I know it's on, right? You know, so I get it, because there are some people that don't understand where the on button is. But I had done all the stuff, and I had looked it up, and so he had me, he sent me a link, and I had to take some pictures of the thing, and I sent it back to him. I was on hold for a long time while he was apparently Googling or talking to somebody, I don't know. And he came back and said, well, that system is not compatible with the MyQ. I'm like, that just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I, rather than arguing with him, I said, are you sure it's not compatible, you know, based on this and this and this? And he goes, no, we just looked it up. We looked it up through LiftMaster and Chamberlain, which is, by the way, who makes the MyQ. And it's not compatible. It's not a compatible device. So it just didn't make a lot of sense to me. Number one, I had looked it up before, and while I had not seen that particular model number being compatible, it had all the megahertz frequencies and the buttons and everything that it needed to be. So rather than arguing with him after 45 minutes, it was hard to understand him anyway, I hung up the phone, went and spent a little more time on Google, delving deeper into it, and decided to climb back up on the 30-foot ladder, press the learn button again, and try a different color button because the frequency was a little different. And so I pressed a little different color button, and long behold, almost scared the crap out of me. I almost fell off the 30-foot ladder because suddenly the garage door started opening as it found this thing. And I'm like, holy crap, it works. So it started making me think about those customers that we run into sometimes that, you know, I imagine the tech help, the support help, they must run into a lot of people that really have no clue, that are clueless, right? That don't understand, you know, they wouldn't understand frequencies and, you know, to do the stuff. They're just trying to hook this thing up. It's made for the basic stuff. And they got to get really frustrated, I'm sure, when they're trying to work through a support issue. You know, I imagine that's got to be really frustrating. And, and it made me think about those times that I'm talking to customers that think that they know a lot about water treatment, right? That they think that they read their Google page, they did a little bit of research, and they came in. And I didn't want to be that guy with support. I didn't want to be the guy talking to support and saying, I know more than you do. I mean, this guy worked there. He had a job on support, but it was clear to me that from the very beginning, he didn't understand how this thing worked. He didn't know anything about it. He, in fact, I would ask him a question, and I knew that he was going and Googling it. You know, the keywords that I had, there was some little template there, and he was going and putting the words that I was saying into Google and doing a quick read to answer my questions, which is stuff that I had already done. So I got to tell you, from a customer standpoint, it was very frustrating to me, and it made me think about those customers. You know, how many of those customers, and how do we handle those customers that have done their research or that do know a little bit about this stuff and actually have legitimate questions and I mean, how do we handle those? Have you guys, tell me, am I off base? Is this unrelated? I don't know. I just was really thinking a lot about those customers that, you know, maybe had a chemistry degree. You do run into those people who know a lot about, you know, a lot about water and a lot about chemistry, or maybe they have experience in that. How do you guys handle it when you run across somebody that, you know, clearly knows the language or has maybe, I mean, you know, you can almost tell if they work for a competitor or if they've worked in the industry, right? Because they're using our language. People that have chemistry knowledge, they're not using our language. You know, they're talking more parts per million than they are grains per gallon, right? And they're talking about, you know, separation and membrane. You know, they're not using our industry lingo. Have you guys run into this? I mean, what are your thoughts on this? You know, how do you? Am I the only one that gets frustrated when you walk into Best Buy and you know more about the computers than the guy that you're asking the question to? What do you guys think? Anybody?
Kelly, I know that's happened to me a few times. And, you know, one of our software programs that we have, and believe me, you know more than anybody that I'm not real good at the computer software stuff. He's like, yeah. But it does get frustrating when you get somebody on the phone. I mean, there's been times, and I've been showing Michelle on the software, there's times that when I'm, you know, I start poking around as they're talking and they're reading their script, and then it's like, oh, wait, never mind, I figured it out. You know, and then they're like, oh, no, that doesn't work that way. Like, but I just did it, you know?
Yeah.
So it does get frustrating. And I think this goes back to, you know, and I'm always talking about this, is whoever is answering the phone. Now, I'm sure that the company that you called is way, way bigger than some of the dealerships that we work with. You know, most of the dealerships are kind of smaller. But it just goes to show that it's so important to have the person answering the phone have some sort of knowledge, you know, whether it's, hey, my water softener is regenerating or, you know, making noise in the middle of the day. And then they can say, okay, well, can you look at what time it says on the clock of the water softener? You know, something like that, something simple. But they also have to know the time to pass it on to the next person that might, you know, whether it's a service technician or a manager or something, that knows a little bit more than the person answering the phone. So I think that's just important, knowing when to pass it on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this, you know, this person was the support. So, you know, I think you're right. When you go to that level and you have somebody call and they, you know, they have they're the ones. Yeah. I mean, you know, if they're answering the phone, they don't know, they need to know how to direct that. But I, you know, this goes, I was teaching the WQA class on Tuesday, and we talked about this, and we've talked about this on this call before. It is so important to, number one, read your owner's manuals. You've got to know what's in your owner's manuals. If your customer has read your owner or service manual and you haven't, you're going to seem like an idiot, and they're going to be frustrated and they're going to go somewhere else. I mean, that's what's going to happen. I got to tell you, if I would not recommend the customer service department. I mean, customer service is important. You know, if somebody's calling in on support, and like I said, I'm empathetic. I know that there are tons of people, just like we have those customers that say, my water softener is not working. It hasn't worked since the day I had it. And you go out there and it doesn't have any salt in it, or somebody unplugged it, or it's bypassed. That's a really common one, right? So, you know, and the customers are quick to scream at you and to holler at you and everything else. But we do have those customers, okay? But we also have those customers that, you know, say, okay, I went online and I went into, and this is what I, you know, they have enough knowledge and common sense to be able to troubleshoot it themselves before they called you. How do we pick out those customers? How do we recognize those customers when they call? You know, what do we, and how do we handle them? You know, what do we do?
You know, Kelly, it's interesting if I can put 2 cents in.
Yeah, please.
Where up in Massachusetts, we had a high concentration of engineers and chemists and chemical engineers, just because of being a high-tech area. And sometimes you'd run into two categories. The people that were really, that had a degree in chemistry or chemical engineering, it was the strangest thing. I used to say to them, you guys must all have to take a course that basically tells you to disavow your knowledge. So I'd say to them, oh, you guys know 1,000 times what I will ever know about chemistry. Oh, you know, it's been years since I've done it. I'm in management now. There's always some kind of a disclaimer they would hit you with right away. Like, they're not trying to prove anything. They want to hear what you think and what because you're a niche, right?
Yeah.
But by the same token, you'd run into guys like you're talking about where they assume you're an idiot and they've done the research and they know what's what. And it's a matter of building trust with them by demonstrating that you are proficient and by answering questions and telling them something that maybe causes them to say, oh, well, this guy really does know something about what he's talking about, and maybe I'll listen to him. You know what I mean? Like, they initially are kind of, you know, because they're used to dealing with people maybe who aren't that savvy about whatever the subject is, and they, like you said, they've read the onus. I used to kiddingly say to people when I'd finish an installation, I'd say, by the way, if there's anything in the owner's manual that runs counter to what I've told you, it's wrong, I'm correct. State that up front.
That's
so, you know,
that's,
get that right.
That's pretty
out
funny.
Certain things, you know, where they'd say, well, take the injector out and clean it. I was like, don't ever take the injector out. Don't mess with the injector, because on certain heads, the plastic cap that you would remove, we had so many people that would break the cap, they would over tighten it, they'd blow out later when they weren't standing there and flood their basement. So we went from recommending people clean their injector to saying, don't ever touch the damn thing. Never. Yeah. Anyway.
You know, the most frustrating thing about my experience yesterday is I really wanted to call to somehow, if there was somehow I could get back in touch with Dave and explain to him what I did, because I cannot be the only person ever that has run into this complication. You know, I can't be the only one that's ever tried to connect a commercial garage door opener to this app. And so I was really frustrated. I wanted to be able to go back and teach. And that made me think, you know, about the importance of being willing to learn, you know, to always recognize exactly as you're saying, Paul, that there are people that are, you know, that have different experience. I used to, with engineers in particular, I would have, or chemist, you run into this. One of the things that I used to say when I would run into one of them, and there are people who want to show off and tell you how smart they are. They just, and it doesn't matter. They want to learn anything from you. They think automatically they know more than you do. And, you know how you can usually tell the smart ones? They're the ones that ask the most questions. And they're not condescending questions. They're not said in a sarcastic way. But what I used to say when they'd go, you know, well, how does, you know, and if you've done your due diligence and you kind of, you know, you find out what they do for a living, those are your warm-up questions, you know, so you find out, well, I work at such and such. And if they're asking questions or if they say something about it, I used to say, you know, it sounds like you actually have some experience in this. I got to tell you, I wish I knew how this worked. All I know is that it works. Have you run into this before? Do you know how it works? And once you open that up and ask and give them permission to start telling you how smart they are, I mean, this goes all the way back to How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, right? And so look for an opportunity to let them tell you how it's working, and they will jump on it if they know it. And I got to tell you, I have learned some things from my customers. Sometimes they actually do know some stuff. You know, I've run in where I learned, you know, where I learned how to do a proper, like an actual proper water test, you know, was in dealing with a chemist that told me when I used to do my hardness test, I used to take the dropper and I'd hold it at like a 45 degree angle and drop the titrate. You guys can't see me right now, but I'm doing gestures of the like who am I doing gestures for as I'm saying this? I'm like mimicking it through gestures. But I used to hold these things at a 45 degree angle, and I had somebody who worked in a lab that told me, no, you're going to get inaccurate drops if you do that. You have to hold the dropper straight up and down and then shake it at the end of each time. And it's interesting, Paul Peter, you know, said the same thing recently. And I'm like, yeah, I learned that. But I didn't learn it from somebody in our industry. I learned that from one of my customers when I was going out there. And it's something that I've always learned from the beginning. You know, you do run into some pretty smart people out there. And when you do, take that as an opportunity to learn from them. Like I said, I think the most frustrating part of my experience yesterday was not being able to call Dave back and tell him, hey, this was the simple fix. This was it. Instead of 45 minutes telling me, no, it can't work, no, it can't work, no, it can't work. I mean, I would have left that call had he given me that support and that information. I would have left that call feeling a lot more warm and fuzzy about this company and about their support than I do now. Now, I mean, I hung up there and I was just frustrated. I was, you know, and I think that is similar to the way that we can. So Jen, your point, you know, what you said, making sure that the people that answer the phone know enough about where to direct it. But if they're directing it to somebody that also is just reading off Google, in today's world, if I'm calling support, I want to learn something more than I can find on Google. And I think that is the case with our customers as well. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah. It's a challenge, Kelly, I think, to get people to really be knowledgeable who are on the phone, right? How do you walk that line between they have enough technical knowledge to really do the job you want, or they have the judgment to pass it along, like Clint said in Dirty Harry, a man's got to know his limitations, right? When do you say, yeah, hey, somebody else needs to get involved?
So anybody else have experience with this or thoughts on this? That, you know, this wasn't originally what my topic was going to be, but I think now that since we only have like 5 minutes left, it's a good topic. So let's talk about this. I mean, what do you guys, anybody else have experience with this or thoughts on this? I got to tell you, go ahead, please, go ahead.
We're always so shorthanded. And trying to get, when we hire new customer service reps, it's like we used to send them out to run with sales reps and service during their training. They just don't have the time to do that anymore because they got to get them the basics and get them on the phones. And it's frustrating because there's so many things they don't understand or know. And I'm talking some of them, you know, 5 years later, if they're still here, that don't understand and know. And it's like, no, that's yeah, not how we do things. But, and it's just,
I just think,
and they don't comprehend what the rest of us do out there.
Well, that's, you know, we've talked so much about education. And to me, it's inexcusable if you've worked in a company for 5 years and you still don't know the basics, you know, and that was one of the things that I learned very quickly. That's really common in our industry. I mean, once I got my WQA certification, which was about probably 8 or 9 months after I started in the industry, I received my WQA certification. I quickly realized that I knew more about our industry and how things worked and about water treatment than the vast majority of the people that have been doing it for 10 years. I mean, and that's a little plug for WQA certification. If you're not certified, you should be. You go through the courses because you will, it's a very comprehensive, excellent course. And it will go a long ways towards allowing you to answer some of those basic questions, but and allowing you to learn more about it than you can find on Google. You know, so to your point, Stacey, it's the same thing. Shorthanded, but I mean, that to me, if you're shorthanded, that seems like an opportunity for the people to learn stuff. You know, if you're shorthanded, that means that everybody's wearing different hats. That means that everybody should be learning different jobs. I mean, that seems like an opportunity for them to jump on that and learn it.
You know, and it's like I had one the other day that we have a policy that we do not do installs on the day of closing, because when that closing gets pushed back 2 hours, that messes with my service guy's schedule.
Yeah. Yeah.
I put the note in the system, it's closing on the 13th, schedule it for the 14th. Guess what she put it for? The 13th.
Yeah.
I'm
so
like, do that. Call them back
well,
and
that's,
tell them it needs to be the next day.
Right. So let's just summarize a couple things here. First off, I think it's important to recognize that your customers are basically feeling the same way you do. If you think about that time that you've walked into, something that you're knowledgeable about, maybe you've had a lot of experience with your hot tub, or maybe you've had a lot of experience with cars, mechanics. You know a lot about mechanics or computers or whatever it is that you knew a lot about, but sometimes you go in to buy something, you need a little help. Home Depot maybe, or the hardware store. Think about those times that you feel frustrated when you know more. Then maybe you don't know the right language. Maybe you don't know what the widget is actually called, but you know how to use the widget, and you know the widget exists, and you know what it's for. You know that that's the widget you need. You just don't know the words to describe it. Okay, maybe that's what it is. Think about how frustrated you are, and keep that in mind when you run into that customer. Learn how to ask the questions to find out. Is this a customer that needs to be explained how to plug the thing in, or is this a customer that actually understands has a pretty basic understanding of how this stuff might work and wants to know? Or I think you can usually identify them by the ones that ask the questions and the types of questions they ask. But remember that if you run across somebody that has some knowledge, don't be so, like you're saying, Paul, don't be so caught up in what you know that you forget that they might be able to actually teach you something, okay? They're going to walk away a much happier customer if they, number one, can talk in the same language. You know, you're not being condescending or you're not talking down to them, but also if they walk away with a better idea or more knowledge than they had walking into it. Even if you couldn't answer their question, if they understand that you respect them for asking the question, I think that makes all the difference in the world. Final thoughts or comments on this topic? Okay. Again, no call next week, just as a reminder, no call next week. We will be at the Water Quality Association Leadership Conference. And so we will talk to you in 2 weeks, if not before. Hope to see everybody out in Tahoe next week. So thanks, everybody. Be safe.
Have a great day.
Thanks.